Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news. And yes, general tomfoolery is guaranteed at this point. It is US week, so I am Ben Williams. Joining me, as ever, the resident zebra brother, Louis Satterley.
Hello! Glad to be back from my vacation. I'll be gone in 2 weeks again.
Yes, and we also have man with the golden voice, Mr. Tara Burris.
I don't know about the golden voice, but okay, we'll go with that.
Yes. How are you, gentlemen, this evening?
Taylor, I'll let you go first, because I think mine's going to be a word vomit.
Yeah, yours is going to be a bit.
I'm surprised he's still recovering after all the chaos that's happened in Sebring. It's still, even though it's been 2 weeks now, just about, I'm surprised he's still functioning.
That, it takes about a good solid month. I have not had a drop of alcohol since, I'll say that.
Actually,
no joke. The day I got back, which was St. Patrick's Day, which is the day that is notorious for drinking, jokingly went to Lisa's family for St. Patrick's Day meal, and literally her brother comes up and says, like, hey man, you want a beer? And I just like freaked out like Ace Ventura. Yeah. Whenever a bat comes up to him, he's like, ah, get it away.
PTSD all over again.
Oh, it was.
No, I was pretty good. Just got back from second round of the Texas Sprint Racing Series over in New Caney, Texas. Had a good time there.
Oh, that's right. You were going to be announcing sprint car races.
No, it wasn't announcing sprint car races. I was producing kart racing this past weekend. And then, because of some schedule conflicts, so I was not able to do the sprint car racing.
Oh,
so,
I could have sworn you mentioned you were going to do that.
It was the plan, and then some plans changed.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, but nope. Other than that, got me some stuff going on this weekend down at Cotton Bowl Speedway coming up, as we cover some super dirt trucks and some street stocks down there for their season opener, and just traveling all over the state of Texas here pretty soon to cover all the racing in both karting and dirt racing.
That makes me so glad that we record on midweek. That way, we can actually get him on the show. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we never see him.
Yeah, you would never see me. You would never see me if this was a weekend show. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, back when this was a once a month show, we did record on the weekend a lot, just because, you know, time zones are a thing.
Well, that's also when we had everybody on the show at once.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
The chaos that ensues.
Yeah,
it does.
So speaking of chaos, shall I just delve into it?
Yes. How was your week at Sebring? And I say week at Sebring on purpose.
Yeah, it was the usual chaos that happens outside the track. Just, you know, you got to get what they call the nuisance drunk out of the way, which you just make a total animal out of yourself and then wake up the following day wondering why you did that. And then you realize that you're going to do it for 8 more days.
Yeah, so, we did talk about your MX-5 alarm clock on the show.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't very pleasant, I'll say that. So literally, they're the slowest and the noisiest thing, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just there's a lot of them, and when that's the first session in the morning when everybody's, you know, been inebriated the day before, that's the last thing you want to hear is literally a swarm of hornets coming around.
So, I'd be freaking out a little bit if I heard a swarm of hornets.
Well, not to mention, we're also like right on top of the racetrack where our campsite is. So it's just, wah! My God.
You're the turn 10, turn 11 area, aren't you?
Turn 11. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So literally immediately after the oak tree, right after this flag stand there. Okay. But yeah, outside the track was a lot of fun. I mean, got to see everybody that we haven't seen in a year. That's usually just a get-together, socialized thing. Try to make plans to meet up with John and Eve. Lost contact with Eve simply because I just was having too much fun, and by the time I remembered, I was in no shape to even reach out and try to talk to anybody professionally. So I chose not to do that, probably for my own betterment. In fact, yeah, actually, it's funny because I was listening back to the Midweek Motorsport podcast, and they mentioned that, or you guys had mentioned to Tim that I was not going to be there because I'm going to be at Sebring, and literally, I'm listening, and John goes, "Oh, well, he should have done something to come say hey or something like that." I can't remember exactly what he said. And then, unbeknownst to me, because I was not listening to the podcast live, apparently I timed it just right to where right after that, I said, "I say hello from turn 11. Tim speaks up and says that immediately as it popped up on his phone. So it's just like, oh, thank God that's all I said.
Goodness me.
Yeah. So yeah, this is at this point inside the track. And then on Friday, that's what I call party night because, I mean, it's where everything just ends early on track. Well, actually, this year it didn't end early because we had a Lamborghini Super Trofeo and a Porsche Cup race that went into the dark, which that was fun. That was really cool. But afterward, we went to belt sander races. Yes, you heard me right. It's basically a drag strip, and literally you just...
You put, what, duct tape around the trigger?
No. So they're always on, and literally you just hook them up to an electrical cord, but somebody has a little light switch to where literally whenever you get the signal to go, you flip it, it instantly gets power, it goes.
Interesting.
So it's literally kind of like the old hand drop tree that somebody does, which... We got somebody that was very attractive to do that for us for a little while. by her choice. We did not ask her to. She did it on her own.
Sure. Okay.
Sure, well, right. Yeah.
Lots of alcohol was involved. I'll say that.
Remember, please drink responsibly.
Yes. 100% drink responsibly because I'll get to the why I really say that coming up next. But so, yeah, you flip the power on, last belt sander at the end of the line wins. Or falls off the track, I should say, because once it hits the dirt, it just stops or whatever. Then after that, we went to Hank and Sheila's big tent. Purposely censored there because,
Gotcha. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, they get a garage band in there, and of course, the garage band does absolutely awesome things, but their music set was way off, and it kind of was a little off-putting, you know? Go from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Goo Goo Dolls to Van Halen. And I was like, what's happening here?
Something completely different.
Yeah, I was like, I need to get away from here. But anyway, so that was Friday night. And then Saturday, obviously the race went on. That's where a lot of my focus was on. Mm-hmm. And then...
Your tent didn't land on the track again.
No, it did not. We made sure everything was tied down nice and secure. And actually, we had no dust devils this year, which was actually kind of surprising because it was incredibly hot.
Like I have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, Thursday it was so hot that literally we looked at the flagpole, no air movement whatsoever. Yeah, for about a good 3 hour stretch. And of course, that happened to be the time that I decided I was going to go out and wander and look at some vendors and try to make it to the paddock. I didn't set foot in the paddock this year, actually. It was so hot. So, and then if you remember last year, and this is why I say drink responsibly, ladies and gentlemen, our campsite set the record for 21 bottles of tequila drank amongst the whole campsite for the week. So this is not one person doing all this. This is multiple people having a good time and doing many different types of cheers. We broke that record this year at 22. And we were going to make it 23, but we decided to leave a little bit at the bottom. It was like, no, maybe we shouldn't do that. So. Yeah. So 22 bottles of tequila for the whole campsite.
So how close did you get to the fire at the end?
I stay away from that. I usually always do. Not wanting to be there, because I've seen it a few times, but usually whenever that happens, the crowd starts getting incredibly rowdy. The police are already there pretty much all the time. And they try to prevent it every year, but obviously they're not very successful. And actually, there were two different locations they had couch burnings. The hairpin is the traditional one, which is the one they always try to stop. But about an hour after that, a bunch of people piled up a bunch of them at the chicane and burned like five of them right on top of each other, made a huge pile.
Mm-hmm.
So that one actually got a little bit out of control because there was no fire department or anybody there because they didn't expect that one. But yeah, usually with that, the crowd gets a little rowdy and I try to stay away from that because usually good things don't happen around there. I'll say that.
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, it's nowhere near as bad as what it used to be years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of people would bring, or at least one campsite in particular, I can say this, and fortunately they don't come anymore. They would bring a one-way camper, and after the race they would set their camper on fire.
Yeah.
The turn 10 guys, which actually I don't think it was them entirely, because they're usually pretty good about cleaning, but somebody at turn 10 for the longest time, for like 5 or 6 years in a row, they would set the tire barrier on fire. And finally, the last year that they did it, the wind was coming out of the north, so when they lit it off, it was blowing back onto them, and all the soot and stuff got onto them. It was bad, which I was never a fan of that to begin with, simply because of such things. But yeah, fortunately, it's only limited down to couch burnings, which I guess they kind of allow it now, but they don't. Weird situation, I'll say that.
Is it just expected at this point?
It is expected, because they always have a police presence down there, and they always have a fire truck literally on standby, ready to put it out as soon as they see it. So, which I remember the last time I was down there, a bunch of people kept trying to set it off literally just before the race started, and police were escorting them away, usually with their hands behind their back on that one. And then, like I said, it's been so long since I've been down there, I don't even know if they arrest people for trying it or if they make sure it stays contained in that spot and that's it nowadays. I don't entirely know. So
yeah. My Sebring experience was just as wet and yet dry at the same time. I did do the iRacing Sebring this year, which for now, that's probably as close as I'm going to get to Sebring just because I normally have stuff going on in March, so I can never really get down there during this month. But I had the misfortune of driving both times when it started raining. The rain actually started in the rain. The race started in the rain.
I was going to say the raining started in the rain. That's usually when rain starts.
I heard myself say that, and I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, no, the race started in the rain. I actually only got one lap of qualifying because it started raining my second lap.
Oh, that's fun.
I set my personal best on the first lap, so it was like, okay, I'm okay with this.
Your overall personal best you set in the first
my
lap?
My overall personal best.
Oh, yeah. Well then, well done. Yeah, that's a win right there, even if it is only one lap.
It was still 12th in that lobby, though, so...
Yeah, but still, that's improvement.
Yeah. We also ended up in a GTD-only lobby.
Okay.
Which was interesting. Okay.
The way the iRacing... Back to the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that we were in a GTD lobby because it meant less carnage because we didn't have GTPs trying to pass you and then eventually probably unavoidably wrecking in the rain because apparently the GTPs are really hard to drive in the rain. So much so that the several different friends who drove the P2 actually finished second overall in a couple of their lobbies. So
interesting.
Yeah. GTPs apparently were not a fun time in the rain. But anyway, I did manage to get us from 12th to 4th over the length of the race. We were two laps down after the second bout of rain, and when I got back in the car, I drove like a madman and got us back on the lead lap.
Dude, Ben Williams, the Rainmeister.
Yeah. The driving in the rain got really old after a while, but the real fun part was...
I see the simulation is working well then.
The real fun part was, okay, when do we put the dry tires back on? Is it this lap? What are the other cars around me doing? What's the leader doing? All that fun stuff. And I'm pretty sure we nailed it both times. So that was a lot of fun. However, unfortunately, one of our drivers didn't get his minimum time in because he had a medical emergency, so we got DQ'd.
We finished fourth overall, though. DQ'd, so, I'll say that.
Yeah. Fourth overall after being two laps down. I'll take it.
Absolutely. What car were you guys driving?
Merc.
Ah.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. The Merc is the... I've driven the Ferrari, I've driven the Porsche, I've driven the BMW. The Merc just seems to fit my driving style the best. Ferrari's not bad, though.
Supposedly in the real world, that the Mercedes actually is the most friendly to gentlemen drivers. So.
Well, when we're casually doing a last to first challenge during the 12 hours. So.
Yeah, I was there.
Yep.
Saw that. That was fun to watch them charge through.
Oh, yeah. And since we're talking about the iRacing Sebring 12, iRacing has, and, you know, 50 minutes of the show, we're finally talking about some sim racing news. iRacing has published the numbers from their first endurance to include rain. There are 12,422 total drivers, 4,466 teams, 4,082,109.94 miles completed, which is essentially 161.76 times around the world. This also equates to approximately 33 years worth of combined driving, and there were 2,296 lead changes throughout the event. So I think it's safe to say that iRacing inclusion of rain into an endurance was a big hit.
I would say so. That's... See, what is it, the headline here? Jumps 38% in participation as rain debut. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I was a bit worried at the end of last year, like, is the sim racing boom over? Is it going to start decreasing overall? But I think this kind of proves, nah.
No. And all I can say is, wait for Nürburgring.
Yeah.
I got to say, if they don't have at least 13 hours of red flag because of fog on the circuit, then it's not accurate.
So, iRacing said before Sebring started was that they were adjusting the weather so that it wasn't completely red flag additions. I'm here to tell you, dear listener, it was pretty dang close.
I was going to say, I was reading while I was out in line at Sebring that they updated the rear brake lights to be able to be more visible through the mist.
Yes, and they are, to a certain extent. You have to be basically right on the person that you're in front of to be able to see the light. If you're a couple cars back, then it disappears again.
Well, that sounds accurate, because in a monsoon on the interstate, I can't see the car in front of me either, because they've got their emergency flashers on, and, you know, can't see that until I'm, like, right on top of them also. So, I guess kind of accurate.
Yeah. I am going to get a bit on my soapbox for a second. iRacing, can you move the blue cone down a little bit farther on the pit exit? Because one of the incidents that I got to in the rain was that I was already halfway through turn one, and then someone coming out of the pits literally turned left as soon as they could and drove straight into the racing line and directly into me.
That should be a penalty.
Yeah. I would have reported it, but my replay failed to save. So, I also had a driver who was several laps down. This is about 4 hours into the race, decided that he was going to defend into sunset and push me into a puddle and spun me out.
That sounds like the old-fashioned Forza defensive driving that we'd had whenever we tried a couple races in the rain on Forza when it was introduced with those puddles.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't get it welded up, so I did touch the wall that's farther. Like, instead of turning right, there's that little bit of a runoff area.
Uh-huh.
I touched the wall down in that area, knocked the front bumper off, and then drove for another 45 minutes without a front bumper.
Oh.
Didn't really slow me down, if I'm honest.
Well, at that point, you're not really worried about downforce if it's raining.
Yeah. It precisely. It didn't really affect the lap time because I wasn't going fast enough for downforce to make a difference.
Right.
But overall, I did enjoy Sebring, but I'm looking forward to someone else who is not me driving the rain stints, because I literally drove all the rain stints and I was tired.
Well, by the sounds of it, it worked out in your favor, though, because if you're able to get yourself up to the lead lap, I mean...
Yeah.
I drove racing 109... in the rain is no joke.
Yeah, I drove 190 laps, so...
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, you mentioned that it was getting old driving in the rain. Welcome to racing in the rain. It gets old quick.
Yeah.
Because you're either constantly spinning, or you're on the verge of spinning, and you are so stressed out.
Yeah. I don't think when they do the N24, it will have rain, because rain's not enabled for TCR or GT4 yet.
Tomorrow we hear from iRacing. Hold my beer, Ben Williams.
Yeah, gosh. Well, if they were going to do it, it would be before this weekend, because the Nürburgring Endurance Series that they're starting does begin this weekend. And I know that because someone who's been on the show before, and someone who's a former Toro staff member, DDM Jam, has convinced me to do that series with him. So I'll be racing on Nürburgring for 2 hours.
You poor guy.
Saturday.
You poor guy.
It'll be
fun. I say that with the biggest amount of sarcasm ever.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I currently have more plans to do more racing on iRacing than I do on Forza.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Speaking
Such
of Forza,
your feelings, Williams.
You know it to be true. Forza Horizon. We haven't talked about
Forza.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Forza Horizon that much on the program, but they're doing something cool that I do want to highlight and get on another minor soapbox about. Last week, Polygon Games announced the Race Off Community event, where the community who, you know, giant community on Forza Horizon 5 will come together, do a certain number of events, and when that certain number is met, everyone who owns the game will gain access to two different vehicles. There are two different events that you can take part in, asphalt racing and off-road racing, and each of those has two different prizes. For asphalt, you get a 2024 Ford Mustang GT, which is the first time that the new generation of Mustang will be joining the Forza franchise. I hope that means that we will be getting it on the motorsport front sooner rather than later. Also, on the off-road... Thank you, Lewis. Also on the off-road front... What you don't see, dear listener, is Lewis making fun of my quick notes and misspelling of the word soapbox as soup box. good grief. We're friends with these. Who needs this?
It's been 2 weeks. I got to pick on somebody.
Oh, yeah. Off-road. If all the off-road events are completed, players will gain access to the 2023 Ford F-150 Raptor R. Now, for the minor soapbox, turn 10. Playground Games is doing something where the community, you know, works together to unlock unicorn cars. Meanwhile, on the motorsport front, you are having that community grind hours so that they individually gain access to unicorn cars. I think that the community involvement and engagement idea is so much better than the, for lack of a better term, FOMO inducing. If you're not familiar with the word FOMO, look it up in Urban Dictionary. The FOMO inducing way that you're introducing cars into Forza Motorsport. Something that the community has been very plain that they do not like. So if you're going to continue to have unicorn cars and have players unlock them, might I suggest going this route? Just saying. Anyway. Also introduced this past... I believe it was this past week. When was this? Hold on. I didn't look at the date. No, it was this week. Haha. Anyway.
You win.
Yes. Also, this week was announced was the Acceleration Car Pack, in which you get, and again, this is the car pack, so it's outside of the car pass that you bought at the beginning of the, like, with the premium edition with the car pass. In this pack, you get the 2021 McLaren Sabre, or Sabe, depending on if you're an office fan or not, the 2019 Jannetta G10 RM, RM standing for remastered. That thing was like a lot of fun. The 2022 Ford Supervan 4, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, that thing is bonkers too. Bonkers quick.
Yeah, yeah. 2,000 horsepower electric motor.
Because why not?
Because why not? And then lastly, and probably the reason I would buy this pack, the 1967 Shelby GT500.
Yes.
AKA Eleanor for your movie fans out there.
Yeah, for the Fast and Furious fans out there, yeah.
That was Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yes. I told you, the Sebring hangover is still kicking.
Yes, obviously.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I really like that car. Anyway, there's, of course, the typical festival playlist, seasonal playlist things. If you take part in those, you'll be able to unlock a 2023 McLaren Artura. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. The 2022 Audi TT RS Coupe. The 2003 Ford Mustang SVT Cobra. And the 2022 Jag F-Type SRV, which I believe is like the last high-performance F-Type that they produced, if I'm remembering correctly. Anyway.
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you are correct, because that was about the time that Jag said they're going all electric.
Yeah. So these should be available now, so if you want to go take part in the community stuff, help unlock these two cool cars, and get your hands on some of these other cars, be sure to go do that. Moving on, staying in the console realm, we have a Gran Turismo 7 update.
Yay!
We are on 1.44 at this point. As per usual, this update will come out after the show. Actually, excuse me, prior to the show actually coming out, but it is still in the future for us as we are recording this. So we don't have full about 4 hours from now. So we don't have full patch notes yet, but we do know there are a couple of things that are included. Cars-wise, we have the Toyota GT1.
Yay!
The Lamborghini Urus, and fitting as the last one of these was produced this week, the Audi R8.
Yeah. Bittersweet.
Yeah, a little bittersweet.
Whenever I saw this list, I was like, Audi R8? Oh, they're bringing back the LMP car. No.
No, no, it's the R8 V10 Plus.
Yep.
Yeah, so, sorry. There's also a new Jag theme menu book for those who are still doing those events. There are three new races being added to the World Circuits mode. There's a new Fukushima scape that they'll be able to take photos in. And I threw this one in there just because I find it interesting as kind of a promotional thing. Because, you know, Gran Turismo has very close ties with the Japanese market. There are be included in Gran Turismo 7 26 decal presets from a motorsport-themed anime called High Speed Itol. It's the French word for star.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I've heard things about that particular anime. Keep hearing about it, and like, I need to check that out, and I never did.
Yeah, I have watched one trailer of it, was about a minute and 30 seconds, and it...
I think I've seen the same trailer.
Yeah, and it's very, very motorsport-focused from what I could tell, and it's also, like, futuristic motorsports, the cars, like, open their own doors kind of thing. High-tech.
Okay, so this is a different one, because I know there was another anime that came out about somebody that's trying to make their way through Formula 4.
I did hear about that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is different.
Okay.
It's like a combination of a hypercar and a Formula 1 car, kind of.
So Vision GT, got it.
Yes.
Funny enough, while we're talking about
basically it's Vision GT. Yeah. It also, the Vision GT is actually pretty fitting, because from what I remember watching the trailer, the music was like, oh, this sounds like Gran Turismo.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Maybe yes. That's actually where they got the inspiration for the show. I don't know.
Who can
One
say?
Can think.
Yeah. Anyway, so Gran Turismo 7 players, be sure to look on that and update your games accordingly.
We'll be doing that tomorrow morning.
Yes. Moving right along, we have had another update to the RenSport beta. We are now on
for that.
I think the last one's in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. We are now on beta version 1.8.0. One of the key updates with this that I forgot to put in the notes was that another batch of beta codes have been sent out, and apparently there was a bit of an issue in RenSport's processing where the name on the email didn't necessarily match the name that you registered your email with, if that makes any sense.
Well, like, they also got a really big issue with that, because I still haven't gotten mine.
Well, yeah, considering they sent another 2,500... I might need to try this game again. But the email that you got from RenSport with your code might have had the wrong first name on it, but it's still the code that's meant for you. They were very plain on social media about that. So it's still your code, you can still use it. No problems.
Oh, wonderful. At least they got that squared away then.
Yeah. Involved in this update, of course, there's the usual bug fixes, which I have highlighted in our show notes and we'll be going through shortly. But new content-wise, we're looking at the Porsche Mission R, which we knew was coming, and a new edition of Goodwood Hill Climb Track, which I don't remember them announcing now. I feel like I would have remembered them announcing that.
I remember hearing something about the Hill Climb showing up in something. I don't remember if it was this or something else, though. I genuinely don't.
Yeah, the last game I remember the hill climb being officially part of, I think, was Gran Turismo Sport, maybe?
No, I don't remember it being in there. Not to say
You're... Didn't they do a whole thing at Goodwood last year? Yeah, it was last year, where they took RenSport to Goodwood and debuted the track there. I'm remembering this now.
Yeah, probably then.
Yeah, I'm remembering this now. That's also where they introduced the Mission R. So, yeah, it was...
over a year. Or no, not a little
quite
over
a year.
But...
We're at like the 9-month mark.
Wow.
Yeah, no wonder I didn't remember it. I was sitting here thinking about that. I was like, why don't I remember this? And I do. It's just back in the Rolodex. Anyway.
Way back.
A couple other new features that they added. They've implemented a time trial mode. They've added a day and night cycle to Spa, with more tracks reaching a full nighttime cycle coming in future updates. They implemented proper car lights for all available cars, implemented car brakes, heating visual on brake discs, so now the brake hooks actually glow a little bit, and nice. They implemented tire deformation and wear visuals. So we don't have, changes to the physics. Are they included in the physics? The only thing I can remember right now is that RenSport doesn't do damage, and I don't remember if that includes tire wear and fuel load right now. And I also have not played the game enough to be able to tell you.
Oh.
Okay.
Time to play.
Yeah. I am sorry that I'm so ill-informed with Rensport right now.
I don't have my code, Rensport.
Yeah. I've basically been playing iRacing pretty much solidly all year, essentially.
Well, it's because you signed yourself up for all the punishment.
Yeah. Anyway.
Self-induced.
Gameplay, again, I'm not going to hit all the highlights. I don't think you want to hear about them upgrading to Unreal Engine from version 5.1.0 to version 5.3.2.
Why not?
This is all... Yeah, because that's not good radio. This is all available on Rensport's website if you want to go check that out. Gameplay-wise, one of the things they added was the possibility to perform actions during a locked input countdown procedure. So while you're waiting for the races to start, you can now change your traction control, your ABS, your brake bias.
Oh, wonderful.
Couldn't do that before. Yeah.
Interesting.
I know you could do that in Gran Turismo.
Yeah, you can definitely do that on iRacing. Can't do that on Forza, though, because Forza doesn't have that function. Not that I'm bitter.
Ben, we put the soapbox away already. Can we not break it out?
I've still got one foot on it, dang it.
Well, we've already broken it out twice this show.
Fine.
I'm just saying, if you're going to break it out for the third time, it's got to be in a case that's worth talking about.
Fine.
Pick your battles is what I'm saying, sir.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Cool,
yeah, a cool UI change that Rensport have added is that you now have the possibility to select favorite cameras in spectate mode. Something that all titles like this should have, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Bug fixes. They have, and these are my favorite ones, fixed grass being too slippery. That is a direct quote from the patch notes. Fix problem.
Somebody went out there and just threw a bunch of Dawn all over the lawn.
Apparently.
They
fixed the problem with cars in the garage sometimes being flipped over on the roofs.
Well,
not ideal.
Fairness, they're in the right place to get that fixed.
Yep. And fixed some problems with players being penalized for no reason during a rolling start procedure.
Okay, yeah.
Good fix. Good fix. Yeah.
Nothing we could poke fun on that one.
Yeah. And the rest of them were pretty mundane changes.
Everybody needs to be more like iRacing whenever they talk about the stuff that they do.
Add fun.
Somebody over there has a sense of humor, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, iRacing definitely has a sense of humor.
Give that person who's being humorous a raise.
Yes.
However, if you're going to give that person a raise, take the money from the person who decided that the pace car driver's name was going to be... What is it? Fred?
Fred? Yeah, trust me, we are trying to start a movement on Grid Vision. hashtag
the pace car driver's name is Fred.
Yes. For a while we've been calling it of course Benny the pace car, because you know,
which I support.
Yes, of course. Ben supports, but you know, Barney the flagman, Benny the flag or pace car driver, I mean, why not? And then they came out with Fred, and let's just say I have been heartbroken for the past 3 weeks now.
Basic name that's not really all that humorous.
It's not like Benny the Flagman is, or Barney the Flagman
Barney.
Is humorous. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. And anyway, hashtag bring back Ben.
Hashtag bring back Benny. Yeah. Barney and Benny are up there.
Hashtag give Barney an umbrella. Just saying.
That too.
Right.
Anyway, so there's also a list of known issues that Rensport published with these patch notes. The first one being, and I'm going to read this one just because it's hilarious, disabling the pit limiter as soon as the pit lane message disappears will result in a penalty due to a desync between the message and the detection point. Wait 1 to 2 seconds after the UI message disappears to disable the pit limiter.
Hmm.
What?
That...
The math doesn't...
Yep.
The math doesn't math. Yeah, that's the problem. The math isn't mathing, so people are getting penalties for turning the motor off too quickly.
What happened to math being math?
Math is math.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yeah.
But not if you're playing Rensport.
No.
Apparently not. But again, this game is in beta, so we're not going to give it too many negative points.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's available. We get to play it, especially because I haven't gotten a code yet.
Hashtag get Lois a code. But moving on from a game that's in beta to a game that, oh, well, technically it's still in beta, but, you know, you still have to pay. You have to pay to get to this one. Lamont's Ultimate.
Yeah, but at least I don't have to wait on a be on a wait list for a code. Yeah. I can get into it by buying it.
Yeah. Well, since you're the only
one salty here, about that at all.
Since you're the only one here that did make that choice, why don't you talk about Lamont's Ultimate for a couple minutes?
I can. So this is the second major update that they've had actually in 2 weeks. I actually have not touched this at all, so I don't even know or haven't even experienced what the first update was since I've been back from Sebring. But some of the general code updates that they've had, they've integrated crash reporting software to automatically collect crash reports. That is literally meaning your game crashing. So fortunately, you don't have to send a report in there. They have some sort of software that they've put in there to where it'll do it for you.
Question.
So, yes.
How do you, in 2024, let a game out into the internet, let people play it, without having that in place? Particularly when it's something that's supposed to be in beta as part of the...
Well,
and I completely lost the name for the Steam program that lets you early access? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know why I lost that. But you're producing an early access game, but you don't have a way in the game to automatically send crash reports?
In fairness, a lot of game companies don't do that at all. I mean, prime example, actually, you got games that are on alpha over there on at least on PlayStation side anyway. Anytime it crashes, it gives you the option whether you want to report it or not. So
yeah, but
a lot of stuff doesn't have it built in. It's usually one of those types of menus where you have to choose whether you want to send it in or not, which how many times do people actually say, yes, I'll send it in?
Yeah.
Which usually it's no, because they don't even want to deal with it because they're frustrated their game just crashed. At least in this instance, they've made it to where it automatically does it for you. That way you don't even have to see that screen anymore, thankfully. Because I'll admit, whenever my game crashes and I see that screen, that's the last thing I want to do. It's like, nope, nope, nope. So.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's a fair question,
continue.
Though. That is a fair question. So, they fixed some talent files failing to load. So, I have experienced this one in particular, and actually it comes down to certain cars not loading in, which actually they, even from the get-go, whatever entry list was for each individual event, it's supposed to have those cars load in for that race. So regardless of, not regardless, but if I were to create a race at, say, Sebring, with the full field of cars, literally every car that was entered in for that Sebring race that is in-game would be in that race. Well, a couple times, depending on what car you choose, certain ones wouldn't load up. Prime example was the Cadillac at Sebring for me. Whenever I tried to drive a Ferrari or a Toyota, the Cadillac would not show up. So, but apparently they've fixed that, which is kind of cool.
So it's not having to do with actual quote-unquote driver skill or talent not failing the load. It's more like
the talent file is literally, for instance, if you go into the game and you look up Sebastian Buemi, that's the talent file. It's Buemi in game.
It's the Hollywood talent.
Yeah, which talent file does have all their skills inside of there.
Okay.
So literally it's the AI driver and then their skill level is also inside that same file.
So if I spin out, I can't say that my talent file failed to load?
Correct.
Darn it.
That's your brain not functioning properly there, I would say. Or your right foot not responding to your brain, one of the two.
Rude!
Hey, that happens to all of us. I spin out all the time too, man.
Yep, join the club.
Yep, my right foot doesn't listen to me for crap.
Yeah. I did, in the rain at Sebring, I did at one point, in the process of saving the car, I literally, and I've I haven't done this with this rig yet, but I've done it with my old one. I picked the entire rig off the ground because I was turning the wheel that much.
Goodness, dude.
Goodness. That's a little too much. Take it easy there.
God damn.
Yeah, I like to run higher force feedback than I should because I like to feel everything. But
calm down with the Hulk smash there, Ben Williams.
Sorry, please continue.
The last of the general code updates, they fixed the blue flag in cockpit stating LMP incorrectly, meaning like LMP is behind you, not blue flag. So I have not experienced that one, so I don't entirely know fully this statement behind that one. But yeah, so the blue flags have been fixed inside of cockpit. When it comes to the AI, lap cars no longer immediately attempt to re-overtake when they get the chance. Now, I know this sounds counterproductive, but literally what they would do is if you slightly left the door open or overran from lapping a car, they would literally cram the car down on the inside and wreck you. Not, don't try to miss you. They will literally wreck you, which is not fun. Even if it's a slower GT car, suddenly they have LMP brakes and will run into you. I didn't get it either. Much less aggressive overtaking attempts, so the AI does not get out of shape as much anymore. This is a big thing, actually, because they would try to stuff a car down on your inside, similar to what it was with the re-overtake for the lap car. They would get way down on the inside and usually not make the corner and either A, take you out, or spin out in the process and cause a traffic jam. Which actually, fun fact, a friend of mine got into a crash at what he called, or saw a crash at what he called corner zero. So literally
corner zero.
So in the pit exit or the garage exit at Sebring, they make you come around a horseshoe. Yeah. They crash right there at that horseshoe and we're not even on the pit lane yet. And there's a 10 car pileup.
Oh, wow.
He sent me pictures and all, and I have never seen it before. It's hilarious.
What was it? Did you see the clip of Broadbent breaking the game and having all the cars pile up in a corner?
Yes, I did see that.
Was it like that?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
But literally, it's just one car that was kind of broken and stuck inside one of those ghost walls or whatever, to where it's just hooked on there and couldn't go forward or back because it was between the axles. And suddenly physics decided to work, except for whenever the axle hopped over the wall somehow. Mm. And so it was going back and forth and just caused every car behind it to stack up. Anyways, the last of the AI stuff is AI no longer brake at the last possible moment when there's a car ahead. Instead, in situations that require, it'll be more careful. So again, all three of those kind of tie into each other, to where literally if you did have an AI right behind you, it was, again, another dive bomb situation and would either crash into you, nearly crash into you, somehow get away with it, or crash themselves. So now it's more flowing and they decide to, you know, it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this because this is going to be a bad thing if I do. So.
Yeah.
But pretty big bug fix on that one, which actually I think will help the AI race against itself better than you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does it against itself more often than not. It's actually kind of weird.
Yeah.
So
just saying, all of these could have been fun AI course names, but.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah, they could have.
Could have. Could have, should have, would have.
Yeah. So, virtual energy and fuel user interface. In the garage, we have fuel capacity changed into fuel ratio, which is always good. The fuel carried shows the amount of fuel you will have whenever you leave the pit lane, which is, again, always good. Instead of just
kinda
showing
weird
full.
That I wasn't, kind of weird that I wasn't doing that, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's hard to describe exactly what it was doing to the listener who may not be familiar with what it was doing. Because the best thing I could tell you is that your fuel gauge read full, even if it wasn't full, but because it had 100% energy for
okay.
the charge
of
the supercapacitor, it was doing that.
Yeah.
So literally after you use some of the charge, it would go down a little bit, and then when the charge built back up, it would go up a bit more again. So it was a constant fluctuating thing.
Yeah, that does explain some of the HUD changes that they also did with, like, the speedo actually shows fuel and the NRG more clearly, and that they actually kind of shows the usage on the HUD that's to like two decimal points. I'm assuming it was probably just a number and not really that accurate before.
Yeah, which actually that's one of the points that they did hit on for some HUD that they did, is exactly what you said. So, yeah. Speaking of HUD, other things they did on the HUD was virtual energy shows number of laps you will have with it, which is great. Yeah. Replace fuel capacity with fuel ratio for hypercars, which, again, that's literally what we just talked about. The strategy section now shows the amount of fuel you'll have after your next pit stop. So basically, you're getting ready to have your or come into the pits for your fuel stop, effectively, for your next stint. And it'll tell you how many laps you can go on the next one, which that is a feature that came over on R-Factor 2, but for some reason didn't carry over onto this. Same creators. I don't understand why they didn't do that. Speedo shows fuel NRG more clearly, which is what you just mentioned. Update fuel and energy usage on the HUD to show two decimal points, which again you mentioned there, Ben. And removed option for relative refueling and added fuel units
and liters and gallons.
Yeah liters or gallons. So that's it for general code updates for the tracks. The big one was Bahrain. They fixed fast rolling starts to where left lane was being shown at, or starting on the right side, or let me rephrase that. Left side of the grid would start on the right side and vice versa after you did your rolling start, which was really weird. And I don't understand why they did that, but they fixed that to where it doesn't do that anymore. For the cars, we have updated weight penalties, and this is for online purposes. So basically, you could do a ballast for using ABS and such like that. So I think it is, if you use light ABS, it's 15 kilograms. If you use full ABS, it is 25 kilograms added on to you. That way it makes it a little bit more like fair.
It looks like that value also varies by class as well.
Oh, I haven't read too much about that.
Yeah. GTE, it's 18 and 30. For the LMP2, it's 14 and 23. And for hypercar, it's 15 and 25.
Aha. So I had the hypercar ones. I didn't see the other ones.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you for letting me know on that. And the other thing, or two more things, change pit stop restrictions so that driver change and refueling are concurrent. Tire change, repairs, and brakes are not. Small tweak from random delay for tire change. So take that as you will on that one. And on the Corvette, yes, the Corvette, because there's only one Corvette in the game, fix the hole around the rear wing, which I don't ever recall seeing that, but that's kind of hilarious.
Was it just like the rear wing was just kind of floating on the one side, or
I have
was there
no idea.
Just
I don't
a hole in the bodywork?
I'm going to say yes, because I haven't seen it, like I said.
Yeah.
So, and so, that's the highlights of that.
Yeah, virtual Le Mans players. Virtual Le Mans. Good grief. Le Mans Ultimate. Wrong Le Mans property there.
Dare I say, I'm loving how they're going about this, because everything has been very methodical about how they're doing it, and they're doing a great job listening to what everybody is saying. And it's a breath of fresh air.
They kind of have to at this point, because there's such a negative energy around this organization, just considering they have yet to actually launch a successful game, that is pretty much all of the eggs are in one basket.
Yeah, quite literally now.
Which is funny that I'm saying that, because it is Easter week. Again, full details on all the patch notes are available on Le Mans Ultimate's website. I'm going to quickly get through these last two things, just because, like I mentioned to Tim, that we were going to talk about these, so I want to make sure that we get through this, but we are running a bit short on time. There have been, in the last 3 days, two very expensive sim racing rigs that have been introduced. The first one is a collaboration between PlaySeat and F1.
Oh, I saw this.
Yes. Which, what is the fancy name that they gave this? I believe it's, I don't actually think they may not have given this like a fancy name. It's the typical collaboration with a sim rig and a pre-existing company. It's repaint of something that PlaySeat has already introduced. But this one in particular is the PlaySeat Formula Intelligence with a different paint job with Formula One logos over it. And there seems to be a bit of a different support structure with this one compared to the other ones. If you look at the pictures, you can kind of see what I'm talking about.
I very briefly saw a picture of it, but
yeah,
I literally, as I was reading or browsing through it, I saw PlaySeat and F1, and then I saw a sim rig painted up in the F1 logo. And I was like, they're going to charge $1,000 extra just for that logo.
Well, you're not wrong. Yeah. Actually, you kind of are, but I'll get to that in a second.
Well,
in their press release, they on the F1 website, they said the partnership with PlaySeat demonstrates F1's ability to put its growing and diverse audience at the heart of the action, offering opportunities to experience the sport away from the track, namely because none of their fans can actually afford to get to the track, in this case through the world of gaming in homes all over the world. Excuse my slight
sarcasm.
Yeah.
so hang on, I can have the choice of either. Oh, you haven't mentioned the price yet, so go ahead.
Mentioned the price yet, but this is supposed to be a multi-year partnership where we can expect more versatile and accessible sim racing seats and high-end professional simulators in the future. This first one is set to release April 16th, and the cost, $2,500.
Okay, so here's my conundrum. I can either A, spend my money and go down to Miami and watch Friday and Saturday, or I can buy this for the exact same cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. I will also mention that...
So in other words, if I can afford to go to an F1 practice day, I can afford this, and I can't do both. Actually, yeah. I can't even do both, period.
Yeah. I will also mention that if you look at the PlaySeat website where this is listed, the PlaySeat Formula Intelligence by itself is $2,500, so you're not actually paying for the logo.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, they have a sponsorship, or they have a partnership with Red Bull with the same chassis, and it has one Red Bull logo on it, which is significantly smaller than the F1 logo. I should point out. And it's the same price.
On that one.
Yeah. Exact same price.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So, there's that one. This next one's more ridiculous. If you didn't think that was ridiculous enough, Pagani...
Wait till you just hear the name and you're already going to draw your own conclusion.
Pagani, and that should tell you exactly what we're getting into here, Pagani and Racing Unleashed have introduced the Huayra R Simulator.
My goodness.
I like the Huayra. Emphasis on the...
I can't say the name of this car without thinking about the Top Gear clip. Legitimately. Yes. In their press release... Sorry, I made myself laugh. In their press release on Racing Unleashed, they said the Huayra R Simulator isn't just another gaming device. It's a technological marvel that brings the thrill of driving a Pagani hypercar to life like never before. With unprecedented precision and attention to detail, it replicates every aspect of the real car, from its sleek carbon fiber body to its adrenaline-pumping performance.
So now, never mind the fact that the sim rig doesn't have any doors, and it's literally a Formula rig.
Yes. Well, it's more GT than Formula. You are still somewhat upright.
Somewhat, but not much.
Not much.
Sitting on your tailbone still.
Yeah. I'll let the listeners go look up the photos of this thing. It does look quite cool.
It is pretty. I will give them that.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
However...
Again, the name spoils it all for you. I'll say that.
Yeah. For those who are not familiar with Racing Unleashed, they are a simulator company similar to Base Performance. However, they like to preach that they are trying to be as inclusive as possible, getting racing simulators in as many hands as possible, which a partnership with Pagani kind of goes in the face of that, if you ask my opinion. But, you know, yeah. I'm not a marketing genius, so this might be working for them. Yeah, it is a completely carbon fiber rig, and it's built around Assetto Corsa Plus, which is the more simulation-heavy version of Assetto Corsa that wasn't available widely to customers, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. We don't.
Which kind of makes me wonder what's the point of developing it around that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because you are trying to sell this to the masses, I would imagine.
Yeah. We don't have really any much more specs than that. We can see that there's a big, wide curved screen that has a 5.1 surround sound, which is designed.
Which, by the way,
look...
did you see the mount for the curved screen is also made out of carbon fiber?
I did, yes. Yeah, and that the speakers are actually designed to look like the air ducts inside the Huayra, which is fun. Yeah, the pedals, we don't have any specs on them, but they are pretty much one for one with what you expect on the Huayra. R.
I love how you're making an emphasis on
Huayra. Huayra. Yeah, and much like the real life Huayra R, this one does come with coaching. Like you
coaching.
Would get. Yes. Like, if you bought the Huayra R, uh-huh. R, you would then, as part of that purchase price, would also, like, it's very much like the Ferrari thing where you buy the car, but then they drive it to track for you and then help you race it. It's kind of like that. I don't remember if Pagani says, is like, we're just going to take your car with us, or if you actually get to keep your car. I don't remember right now.
Well, in fairness, for the Ferrari Clenti thing, that is very much so. Somebody has to pay extra for that.
Yeah. But anyway, this rig has the same thing where if you buy this rig, you get sim racing coaching, and the owners of the rig will have access to, quote, exclusive events and support to enhance their driving ability and enjoyment.
This is what you want to do. I want to drive my sim rig. Well, you can't until we get over to this event over in England, and you have to come to England to drive on your sim rig.
Yeah, I don't think
that's literally what
it's
sounding like.
I don't think it's going to be quite that restrictive, considering that they make there are a lot of mentions of racing in your home in this press release. So I don't think that will be the case.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but it will be some type of coaching, and you know there's wide variety of sim racing coaching that are available.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, friend of the show Daniel Morad has a whole coaching thing that he does with the Radness squad, so not that I'm plugging for them, but that is an option. Coach Dave Academy, I believe Apex Sim Racing does it as well. Anyway,
so where's the Ben Williams Racing in the Rain Academy?
No one wants that. Anyway, this rig was actually available before exclusively to the Huayra R owners, but apparently now it is available worldwide for consumers at Pagani dealerships.
You know what that tells me? Because it was available to Huayra owners, nobody wanted it, so they now have a plethora of them just sitting around. They're like, well, what are we going to do with these things?
Well, there was only 30 Huayra R's built.
And so, yeah, they got about 30 of these probably lying around, wondering why they're collecting dust.
Yeah, well, the press
why
release...
Why simulate driving a Huayra when I actually already have a Huayra?
Huayra. The press release doesn't actually say when this is going to be available or what the cost is. But... Yeah, no.
I'm going to guess somewhere around 10,000. Actually, probably more than that.
There's going to be at least there's going to be at least three digits before the first comma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, at that point, I'll just go buy a real car.
Yeah.
It may not be a Huayra, but it could still be an awesome car.
If I'm going to spend this that kind of money on a sim racing rig, I'm getting a triple screen set up.
Yeah, not a single screen for sure.
Yeah, and well, at this price point, I might just get a VR and a 4090.
At this point, I'll just go ahead and buy me a Porsche.
Yeah, it. End of the day, it's going to be super expensive. So
yeah.
If you have to ask what the price is, then you probably can't afford it. Anyway.
That explains my groceries.
Yep. That is now time for the esports roundup of the week.
We talked briefly, of course, by the esports roundup of the week with Steven Wilson taking home the win over at Richmond Raceway, taking home a win with the brand new team with M80. So that's going to be a very interesting night for him. Of course, they're looking forward to seeing that continuation of dominance for the defending series champion. And one thing to keep an eye on as well is right behind him was Tucker Minter for William Byer Esports. Zach Novak with Oxygen Esports. Kerwin and Caden Honeycutt rounded out your top five. And with that, it now changes the whole idea of the playoff with Kerwin still leading the championship, of course, and then it's going to be Steven Wilson, Nick Ottinger, Vincente Salas, who made his first career start in NASCAR debut at Circuit of the Americas this past weekend at Circuit of the Americas. And I said that twice. I can't believe I did that, but oh well. Then later on down, it's going to be Colin Keister, Caden Honeycutt, Donovan Strauss, Briar LaPrade, Zach Novat, and Parker White, your top 10 in the standings after four races. And of course, the next round for the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series, well, they're going to head over across the pond to Brands Hatch for the first road course of 2024. Catch all the action on Tuesday, April 9th for Countdown to Green and more exciting action at 8 o'clock.
That's going to be entertaining.
Very much so. We saw a little bit of that with the iRacing Invitational event back in December, where the NASCAR Xfinity cars ran there with some of the biggest names in stock car racing of NASCAR, the NASCAR Euro Series, NASCAR Mexico Series, and the NASCAR Xfinity Series racing with these drivers at Brands Hatch to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Simcast. Gentlemen, any final words of thoughts?
Eat more tacos and let's go racing.
You forgot the hashtag part, man. Well, and you stole my line.
Well, you were here last week, so
yes, it's my job now. Do it,
liar.
Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you all for tuning in. Stay safe out there, and bye for now.
Hashtag eat more tacos.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.